We're talking about young men and women, amen. We're talking about people in their early, in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s that should be going on. But nonetheless, I know no longer here with us. And I'm just grateful this morning that God has allowed me to be here and be able to bring the word of life to you on this morning. I believe that there is a word from the Lord on today to share with the Safe House Church. If this is your first time joining us, I want to say, first off, thank you. You could have gone anywhere else on the internet, but you chose to sit here and worship with us on this morning. For that, I'm elated, that I'm glad, but I'm also here that I have been mandated to share a word from the Lord with you on today, that God is good and that he still reigns. And this is the first day of November. And I know that, you know, we're looking people today, 2020, people cursing 2020. I'm telling you today that it's not the year, it's not the chapter, but it's what the spirit that lives inside of us. Amen. It's how we look at things and how so, because even though it seemed like people, you know, everybody's saying, well, this one is dying and that's going on, that people are moving, but there's transition in the earth. And every time somebody else moves, that means there's opportunity for somebody else to step up. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to get into that a little bit today, that, you know, I believe God has given me a tremendous message to share with you on today, that people are looking and they say, well, this has happened, that has happened. And all that means is that it's now time for you and I to step up. It's now time that which you've been realizing, that which you've been waiting on, that which you've been called upon is now here in the earth, is waiting on you. Oh, come on. I already feel my help coming on this morning. Let me slow down a little bit and let me get some things out of the way. I want to say good morning and welcome to all our members of the Safe House Church. Your pastor, Peter Ely, a.k.a. also known as Greensboro Favorite Pastor, as we speak that into existence. I'm just so grateful to all of you all, those who blessed me with different things over the pastor's appreciation month. I really appreciate that. It goes without warning, and I love each and every one of you all. You know, it's nothing that I won't do for you within God's word, amen, to help you and help you on to the next level. Many of us, God has made us good friends and going on. And it's always sometimes, you know, it's always a little, we used to say a little hairy when, you know, when you have friendship and then you have people. But you know what God said? He that makes himself friendly has friends. And I'm just grateful to God for giving us many people that hold us accountable. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that I'm sitting on the throne high and mighty, but you know, that God has just made me the man for the moment. Amen. And at any point in time that things can switch and can change. Praise God for Pastor Biggers that, you know, that loves and support us. Amen. And we're just so grateful to him. That's part of our ministerial council who gives us counsel, and Dr. Isaac and others. Amen. And that God has put in our life to hold us accountable. Because I can get off, you can get off, but you know what the Bible says, the way it's iron the sharpest iron. Amen. If this is your first time also at the Safe House Church, I want you to know that we work out three principles here at the Safe House Church. That is discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, we're going to teach you. We're going to love on you. We're going to show you God's word. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to show you what you should do. I'm going to give you the recommendations. I'm going to show you what the word of God say do, but you have to make that choice for yourself. This is not a church where we force you to say, you know what, you going to hell if you don't do this. You already know you're going to hell. The Bible says that. I don't have to remind you of that. But my job is to what? To usher you into his presence. My job is to show you a better way. My job is to help you to go forward and to know that, well, you know what, that he has your back. And I know you made some mistakes, and I know you're going to make some mistakes in the future. And there's some things that, if the truth be told, you're not done yet. But however, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us. And that what? This is a walk by walk. See, people walk into this thing thinking, looking for perfection. And God has not asked us for perfection. He's asked us to what? To believe, to take the step, to take the walk. And then what? He perfects us as we go along the way. See, you know, you often hear people say, I'm going to wait till I get it together. Well, I'm here to tell you today, you're never going to get it together. Why? Because you don't have his power to get it together. I'm getting it together more and more every single day, every single step, every single moment. That what? There's another piece of me getting it together. Amen. So don't be fooled. It's just a device of the enemy to make you believe that, hey, you know what? You got to have it all together before you walk in here. That you're looking at a person who's been a sinner. You know what? And if I ain't careful, I can fall right back into it. Not once saved, always saved. You know, you get saved from the pool. If you drown in a swimming pool and you get saved, can you not get back in that pool and drown again? Absolutely you can. So therefore what? We always say here that salvation is free, and it is. Salvation is absolutely free. However, what is not free is that you have to fight to keep what he's giving you. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says it like this, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But that God came that way, we might have light, and that, I mean life, and that we might have life what? More abundantly. So what did it mean? He's given us the gift of salvation, but it's the enemy's job. Oh, come on, somebody. It's the enemy's job to do what? To steal that from us. So he puts things in our way. He puts obstacles in our way. And then God is doing what? He's sitting back and he's looking over this to say, okay, he's making you worthy of your call. Oh, come on. I'm already about to get into my message. I won't ready to do that. But he's making you worthy of the call that he's giving you. So we like I said, we discipleship, empowerment, we are put you in position and push you to go and encourage you to go so that you can develop and be who it is that God has called you to be. Because the Safe House Church, I don't know if y'all saw our new intro and everything. This is a place where leaders come to train. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, I told you all, my members are not members. We're leaders. And this is a place where leaders get trained. Leaders training leaders. Oh, come on, somebody. That way he's called us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But we both winners and conquerors through Christ Jesus. So I'm just a leader of leaders. And, you know, as a leader, I join other leaders and other leaders join other leaders. And if you think about it, if you look at it, that's what Jesus did. Jesus took those, 12 disciples, and they were what? They were leaders in their own communities. Some were leaders in business. Oh, come on, somebody. Some were leaders in agriculture. Uh-huh. Some were leaders in the fishing industry. Uh-huh. Some were leaders in the schoolyard. Some were leaders in medicine. Come on, I'm in the book this morning now. You know, that's where they led at. And I don't know about you, but I know God has called me to be a leader. And he's called you to be a leader. And this is what? That's why we are all disciples. We are all ministers of the gospel. And we all do what? We take this gospel and we carry it to someone else. So the last piece of this is what? Accountability. Accountability is critical. I believe the most critical piece of this is that you can say you're doing a thing. You can preach that you're doing a thing. But when your feet get hold to the fire, are you going to stand firm? Are you going to stand firm through it all? And I'm here to tell you that God has our back, and all he's asking us is to do what? To go forward. And as we go forward, that he will bless us to take those steps. So good morning, visitors. Good morning, Safe House Church. Good morning, world. Whoever is watching us, wherever you may be, whether it be on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, Zoom, we are all over the place. Amen. If you're catching this on our podcast, so grateful to have you there on the podcast on this morning. Amen, amen. So the podcast is doing quite well. Amen. Our last I looked, we had over 30,000 downloads. So the word of God is going forth. 30,000. That's 30,000 people who've heard the gospel through this ministry. I don't take that lightly. Amen. You know, I don't take that lightly. Over 700 messages we have out there. And it's, guess what? It's free of charge. It is free. So all you got to do is go to your iPhone and go in there and put in 10-minute prayer, 10-minute Bible study. You'll see my glowing face pop right up, and you just hit subscribe, and now you'll get them every single day. So these messages, at their conclusion, are also uploaded to there, and you're able to get them. Amen. So do me a quick favor real quick. Before we get into the word of the Lord this morning, I've got through all my things I need to do. Also, first of all, I'll give honor to First Lady Felicia Ely, my beautiful bride, my wife, my sidekick, my bosom buddy, my girlfriend, my lover. I just want to say good morning and God bless her. And we're just so grateful to her and our beautiful children that God has blessed us with. I'm grateful to God for blessing my mother-in-law. Amen. She's gotten stronger and she's getting better and better each and every day. And I'm just so grateful. And you all keep my brother in prayer. Minister Lamont Ely. He contracted COVID, and he contracted it at church, you know, and people ask me all the time, well, why are you going back to church yet? I know churches that have had pandemic outbreaks almost inside their own church. And, you know, this is not throwing a rock at anybody or anything. If that's how you see it, that's how you see it. But I have obligation, and as the shepherd of Safe House Church, I have an obligation to make sure that our members are as safe as possible. And, you know, my brother's an evangelist, and you know, he's all over the place, amen. But God has protected him. I think he's on the other end of this now. And we're just so grateful that, you know, he was able to recognize what it was, got it, getting it taken care of, and going forward, amen. And that he'll be a full recovery and go forth and continue to preach the gospel. So sometimes, you know, God puts us in positions that we got to practice what we preach. And I'm here to be a living witness that sometimes God has put me right in that position. And all these things I've told you all, and all these things I told you all that I believe God for, God said, okay, now it's time. Let me see you doing. Amen. So we practice what we preach here, because sometimes you don't have no other choice but you're forced. Amen. So do me a quick favor before we go any further. Hit the share button. Hit the share button. If you're on social media, hit the share button. This is how others get to know. You may have someone today who don't actively subscribe or view us here. But if you hit the share button, this may give them an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? That little bald head guy over there, he might know what he's talking about. You know, there's something different about that ministry. There's some anointing in that ministry. You know, those Jesus only folks, maybe it's something to them. Or this is something that they just need to hear, that God has mandated for them to hear, and they're going to hear it through you. So just do me a favor. Hit the share button. Amen. So let's go forth this morning into what I believe God has given me to share with you on today. I hope all is well. I haven't got any awkward reports from any of our members of anything going on. So I'm just grateful that God is definitely keeping us and keeping us alive. And I'm just so grateful for everything that he's done for us and that he's doing for you. And y'all continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for you. So this morning, I want to get into our subject this morning. Would you be so kind and turn to the book of Exodus. You know, Exodus, the book of Exodus, you know, a very interesting book. You know, the book, it talks about the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. Now, I remind you that how did they get to Egypt? Well, you know, I always teach, when I teach or I preach, or I'm more of a teacher anyway, I just use the gift that God's given me. You know, how I communicate is how I communicate it. And we always work, you know, from, and I tell our churches, we work off this context, of this framework. And, you know, me being a researcher about trade, you have to have a framework. How do you frame your thing? So we frame all our preaching and all our teaching in this context of these three things. Number one, content. The content is the word of God. The content is the Bible. I believe the Bible to be the infallible word of God. That, it, you know, I can, you know, as Joe Osteen says, I can do what it says I can do, and I can go where it says I can go, and I can't do what it says, I can't do. Amen. So we do believe and we trust that. So that's the content. If you don't believe that, that's the infallible word of God from cover to cover. You know, he said, don't add nothing to it or take anything from it. Then we got problem number one, because now we're not going to see eye to eye anyway. Amen. Because, you know, we'll be arguing. We wouldn't have what we call an absolute, as the late Rabbi Zachariah would say when you would, and he's the great apologetist and the defender of the word of God. He would say that without an absolute, then there, you know, no absolutes, then there cannot be any debate. Amen. So there's no absolute. So since we don't have an absolute that we both believe that this is the infallible word of God, then you're wasting your time. So this is why the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must first have that absolute. So we believe that the content is the word of God. Then we go forward. Now we go to context. Now we must have the context. What is the context? The context gives you the setting. It gives you the characters. It gives you the feel. It gives you the temperature. It gives you, you know, what shade of the dirty is, and all these kind of things. What's the atmosphere? What's the feeling? What's the thought process? Like right now, you know, we was given the context of our situation right now as a world. It's on edge because we don't, you know what's going to happen on Tuesday. You know, I don't have any great prophecy to say this is going, person's going to win, that's going to win. We don't know. So, you know, on top of it being inside of a pandemic and working through that, you know, people are uncertain. So that would be what our context. So now some of the things that God would say would make sense, because sometimes people try to say that the word of God contradicts itself, and the Bible never contradicts itself. But you must understand the content also along with the context. And now things may make a little, you know, sense when you think about it throughout Jesus's career. And when he speaks throughout the Bible, Jesus talks in terms of agriculture all the time. He talks about planting seeds, and he's talking about crops coming up and enemies sowing tariffs and all kinds of stuff. Why? Because this is what most of the people did. They were shepherds and they were agriculturists and they were people of the land. So he spoke in terms that they understood. Amen. Let me update you to 2020. Well, when Dr. Ely speaks here with you, that he speaks in terms that you understand. I try to give you the biblical text and help you to understand it and what it means in 2020. All right. Are y'all with me? So that's what my job is. So context. And then from the context, there's this thing called revelation. I have nothing to do with revelation. Revelation comes from what? The Spirit of God. This is why it's important that you have the Spirit of God, that you have the Holy Ghost living in down inside of you, because I can give you the content. I can give you the context, but it's the Spirit that gives the revelation. All I can do is give you the revelation that God has given me, and I share my revelation with you. And that's all I'm going to do on this morning, that I share what God has given me to you. Amen. But you must read and show yourself accountable. Oh, come on, somebody. I told you all, this is a place that we train leaders. So if you're looking to be spoon-fed like a little bird, wrong church. But if you're here to grow, if you're here to be a leader, if you're here to be able to say, I want to be able to stand on my own 2 feet, because that's going to come a day in time, brothers and sisters, that you may not even get to see me like this. You may not get to see me on the TV. You may not get to see me on the YouTube, the Periscope, and all the different social medias or whatever the case may be. There may come a day in time where you're going to have to know, God, I can stand still and know that he is God. Are you the leader in your home? All of us are leaders. If we're what? If we step into what God has called us to be, that we all are leaders in this space. So what I'm doing here is giving you tools and showing you how to use what God has already given you. You know, I look at, you know, myself, and as I see here, even on camera, my body, my hands, my fingers. You know what? I had these fingers when I came out my mom. I didn't get any more fingers. But what did I have to do? These fingers had to be worked. They had to be developed. They grew. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So what you already have inside of you is what God has given you to work with. Come on, somebody. You are enough. You are more than enough. He's already given you what he's going to give you. But now it's up to you, brothers and sisters, to massage and work what he's giving you. Oh, come on, somebody. To work and massage what he's giving you. So now let's build back into the text of where we are. So content. Context, but it's he that gives the increase. Amen. So this is why everybody around the world can hear this word and everybody walk away with a different understanding. Why? Because the Spirit will interpret that which you need for your right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why it's important that what? We don't fail. The Bible said, fail not to assemble yourselves together. Why do we fail not to assemble ourselves together? Why? Because even though you come and you say, well, I don't need this, I don't need that, the word comes in and the word what sees you where you are. So all I'm going to do is share you with some revelation that God has given me with you that it inspired you. But also at the same time, when you read your Bible, you're going to get quickened. Because it's already inside of you. And all we do here, as we are leaders that develop other leaders, is we're just showing you where God has already put it. He said, is that word, woo, that I've hid in thy heart, is hidden. So now what? My job is to show you where he's hidden it at. And it's hidden under layers of things. It's hidden under sin sometimes for some of us. It's hidden under self-shame for some of us sometimes. Sometimes it's hidden for some of us under we feel unworthy. We feel that we've done so bad that, Lord, you certainly can't use me. You certainly can't open that door for me. Lord, it's hidden under all that stuff. But he said, what? I come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly, that you are enough. So in Exodus, we want to go to Exodus today. Oh, my God. Exodus. And this is what you get when you come to the Safe House Church. Can't wait till we get back in person. If it's the Lord's will, amen. But we're going to go forward. In Jesus' name. Exodus, the fourth chapter. Exodus, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start in verse 10. Now, you know, sometimes a good movie starts with the end first, right? And so today, I believe, you know, the context of how I want to present what I believe God has given me to present to you on today, we're going to start with the end in mind first. The end in mind first. Amen. All right, so here we go. He says this. I'm going to start at Exodus 4 and 10. Exodus 4 and 10. Oh, I guess I need to get on it, don't I? 4 and 10. And it says this. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. Slow of speech. I know you all, if you listen to me from the north, y'all know, y'all hear my country twang. I'm proud of being a country boy. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I want to go out. If I want to go out and back door and just shoot guns right now, I can do it. I like that part. That's just me. But he said he was slow of speech. Slow of speech here meaning that it's believed that Moses had a stuttering problem. They believe that Moses stuttered. You know, how many of you stutter? You know, full disclosure, that's why y'all sometimes y'all hear me tearing up words. I stuttered bad as a kid. I went to speech. I had a speech therapist because I had a hearing problem when I was younger. So this is, y'all just don't see, some people, you know, they see things that you do, and but they just don't know. I'm just glad to be able to hear y'all today. Because I know when I was younger, I couldn't. You understand what I'm saying? And those who have young children, you know, if they have hearing issues, it bothers their, it affects your speech. See, I almost stuttered right there. So I remember going, as a young child, going to a speech therapist, and she working with me and talking with me. And even to this day, sometimes, you know, as much God has blessed me to be in front of people like you are, to be in front of my colleagues at work and all this stuff, you know, you get a little nervous, and sometimes I still stutter. Sometimes I kill the pronunciation of words. I kill people's names. And it's not intentional. That's why I tell people, charge it to my head and not my heart. Because you don't know my story. I'm glad to be able to get them syllables out sometime. So I know people look at you and they see where you are and what you're doing, but not know. I mean, it's very clear. We know, all know, T.D. Jakes got what? A serious list. If you ever listen to T.D. Jakes, one of the best preachers of our time that God has called and raised up and done wonderful things with him, but he has a speech impediment. You can hear it. But it ain't stopping from going forward. And here again, now it's Moses in the Bible. Moses is slow to speech. And he said what? And slow of a slow tongue, meaning that he stuttered. Then he goes on and says this in 4. He says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Now, here's Moses. He ain't gonna say he's challenging God, but he is challenging God, saying, now, Lord, you want me to go do all this work? You want me to lead your people? You want me to talk to these people? You want me to be before these folk? Lord, I can't even get right. I can't even talk. Now, if you love me, why would you embarrass me like that? Isn't that how some of us talk to God? Lord, if you love me, why would you embarrass me like that? Lord, you know I don't like being up in front of people. Lord, you, and he does. And this is what he reminds Moses here in 4. On the 11th chapter, he says, and the Lord said unto him, who's made man's mouth? Boy, I know that you stutter. I know that you don't speak best. I know you don't speak well. But watch this. He said, oh, who maketh the dumb of the deaf or the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord? I the Lord meaning what? I the owner. Remember, Lord means owner. I know this already. And this is some of us. Some of us, I know we struggle in this space. Because some of you look at yourself and say, I'm not pretty enough. I don't have enough. I don't have a degree, or I don't have enough degrees, or I just don't feel right about that. And we make all these excuses of why we don't do. And I'm sure you hear Moses. Yeah, that Moses, the same Moses that we talking about taking. This is him and God having a conversation before we know the Moses of the Red Sea. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you know, and I'm here to tell you today, some of you have to struggle through this part before you get to that part. See, people want to see you in all your glory, but they don't know your story. They don't know the struggles that you've been. They don't know the times that you've gone through. And here we find Moses struggling with this. And the Lord has to remind Moses, boy, you know who I am. Did you forget who I was? Then he goes on and says to him, now, therefore, go. He's telling Moses, go. And I will be thy mouthpiece and teach thee what thou shalt say. He didn't ask me. He said what? Have faith. Go. And I will teach thee what thou would say. Now, here it is. Moses like, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Lord, I don't know. And he tells them, go. And I will teach thee what thou will say. And he said, oh, Lord. Now, this is Moses' reply in 13. And he says this. And he says, oh, Lord. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him thou wilt send. So if you go on and you read later on, we find out that Moses goes, and he goes before Pharaoh, he goes before God's people, and he does all these great things, but also that he asked for a mouthpiece, which we have come to find out later on to be his brother Aaron. So if I want to use for a subject this morning, I want you to help somebody today and just say, simply say this, find your voice to speak his truth. find your voice to speak his truth. Would you type that in the text? Find your voice to speak his truth. Because I want this to marinate in your spirit. I want this to get all the way down in there. Because some of you have been struggling and you've been saying, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord. And God is about getting tired of hearing you say no. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. He's about tired of you saying no. So what's going to happen is he gonna that blessing and things you've been asking for. See, God bless those who stay in his will. And he wants you to do this work. But if you're not willing to do the work, then what is he going to do? He's going to pass over you and take it to another. It's time. Find your voice. We're going to talk about this today. All right, so let's go. I want to go all the way back, and I may go through a couple more scriptures here to the beginning. If you find out here in the beginning, let's talk about Moses here in the beginning. What about Moses here in the beginning? Moses is a peculiar creature to even begin with. Moses' start starts with what? Moses was a exile to begin his life. Point number one today. Some of you are exiles. You exiles in your own family. You exiles in your community. You exiled among your so-called friends. You exiled among folk around you. You just don't fit in no matter where you go. How many of you know and can just attest to that you've been that round peg trying to get into those square holes? And you know the thing about a round peg to go in square holes? It'll go, but it'll fall through. Oh, come on, somebody. A round peg in a square hole will go in. So you find yourself that you've gone to places, you've gone things, you pledge fraternities and sororities. I've done that too. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But I was seeking because I was trying to find who I was. You join different groups and you run around, you saying black power and you say and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff because you're trying to find your place. You know, you join the choir, you join the church, you join the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, you join the Masons and the Easter Stars and all these things that we do, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But the truth be told, many of us are joining these places to do what? We're trying to find where we fit in. We're trying to find our voice. We're trying to find, you know, who we are. And people say, I'm trying to find myself. What they're saying is, I'm growing to maturity, but I've not quite gotten there yet. And I'm not sure about some of the things that I'm being matured to because I don't have a roadmap and I don't have anybody else before me who's done or is gone where God is taking me. Oh, come on, somebody. If you're there with me right now, say, type in the chat, say, hey, I'm there with you. Because I find myself now as I get closer to my mid-40s that the people that I looked up to and the folks that I held on to are now dying and going on in the Lord. The people I used to pick up the phone and say, hey, brother such and such, how can you help me figure this out? Help me understand this. And now I'm finding out that they're going on in the Lord. And now the people are looking at me as that person to come to. They're looking at me as that person to get advice from. And now I'm looking at it and saying, Lord, where do I supposed to get this stuff from? And what does he tell Moses? What does he tell Moses? He said, now go there, go forth. In verse 12, Exodus 4 and 12, and I will be thy mouthpiece. And I will teach thee what to say. We have to trust that God is going to teach us what to say. I don't know any and everything. I don't. I know like this much, even smaller than that. But I have to trust God that way. When that time comes that he's going to teach me what to say. We have to trust him enough, church, to know that he's going to teach us what to say. You're going to go in places, and some of you have been going into places and rooms that you sit in there and you wonder, what am I doing in here? But God has need of you. And your voice is there to speak truth, the power. And you're worrying about what to say. And he said, don't worry about it because I'm going to teach you what to say. Come on, somebody. You know, I sit there and I look at in my own life that God has blessed me. And I'm in board meetings and I'm this with people who have three or four times the amount of money I make, make two or three times what I make in a year, have these kind of cars, have this kind of stuff, Rolexes and houses in the beaches and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, Lord, why am I here? Lord, all I got is this. And Lord, this is all I got. And he said, no, because I have you here as a voice. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. I have you here as a voice. And if you shut your mouth, I don't need you. Oh, come on, somebody. You are where you are because you're willing to be a voice. I am where I am because I'm willing to be a voice. People at my job, I tell you that. That people don't stay quiet. If it's wrong, I'm going to call it out. If it's, I have an issue with it and I don't believe it's morally right and we got an issue, I'm going to say something about it. And if it gets to a point in time that I don't say nothing, people are going to look around and start to say, okay, this must be good. Because what I'm finding out and what you're going to find out in some of your places is that people are going to use you as what we used to say is a litmus test. What is a litmus test? If I remember, and y'all chemistry folk, correct me, Sister Jordan, if I'm wrong, the litmus test is this thing that they put in the water to test the acidity or the pH of the water. And it turns different colors. And according to the color, it tells you how much pH is in the, I mean, what's the pH of the water, right? So people use you and I because they know the God that lives in us. They know we serve Jehovah Jireh. So they look at us as what? The thermostat of the situation. They look at us as the thermostat of the atmosphere. If they win it, it must be all right. If they don't say nothing about it, it must be all right. And this is why it's critical that you and I cannot get on our do-nothing stool and we get to the place that what? We know that we've gotten tired and we stop speaking out when God has told us to speak. That we get tired and we stop talking when God has told us to talk. Why? Because if we start doing this, then that means what? The Bible, I mean, I don't think Bob says, but you know, it's a saying that says that what? Bad things happen when good people stand to the side and keep their mouth shut. You and I are those people that he's talking about. We can't stand on the sidelines and keep our mouth shut. You have what you have because you'll speak his voice. Mm-hmm. I'm in the places that I'm in because I open my mouth. It's not because I'm the smartest. It's people that have run circles around me. And I know a lot of them. But why am I there? Because I'm not scared to open my mouth. Does that get on some people's nerves sometimes? Absolutely. Because sometimes people just want to do what they want to do. And God has you there as a way. I irritate. You just irritate. So they just can't run and just do whatever. You have a place in this, you have a space, and you have to learn to find your voice. You know, in this season of your life, God has been taking me through this season of my life that I'm learning more and more every day, church, to be able to find my voice. To find, you know, this, Lord, this is what you want me to speak to. Lord, this is where you have me at. Lord, this is how you have me to go. And I'm encouraging you today to find your voice. Because it's already in you. You just got to walk in it. So Moses is peculiar. Moses is already exiled from his beginning. Because the Bible goes back and say, if you read back in Exodus 1 and 22 in that area, what happens is Moses is brought into the world. And when he's born, the Pharaoh wants to kill all the boys, all the Hebrew boys at that. All the boys that are blessed. And he tells them to do what? Throw them into the river. Go back and read your book, Exodus. He tells them to throw all those babies into the river so that the crocodiles would eat them. Now, Moses' mom, what does she do? She's determined she's not going to throw her baby into the river, but she does throw her baby into the river. But she throws her baby into the river with wisdom. So the next piece in this, God would give you wisdom. He already told you that way. He would teach you what to say. So he gives them what? Wisdom. So what does she do? She makes what they call a, I can't even remember what it was now. But anyway, it was basically a basket that, as the Bible said, was made out of tar and pitch. So they tarred it inside of a basket, put baby Moses in there, and baby Moses is floating along the water. He's in there with the alligators. See, this is the thing. God don't keep you from trouble, but he'll take you through it. So here you have what? Baby Moses floating along the Nile River. And what's going on? He's inside of this basket. He's around alligators. They can smell him. Other babies are being chomped up at the bit. But I'm here to tell you all today, since you're God's baby and you have the calling of God on your life, you're going to float through alligator-infested water and you're going to be all right. I'm not going to sit and tell you it's not going to be scary sometime. I'm not going to sit and tell you that you ain't going to feel the wind blow. You ain't going to feel the basket rock. This pandemic got my basket rocking too. But I know who my Redeemer is. So what happens? The Bible says that Moses floats along, that his sister, because see, God always got somebody that's watching out for you, even when you're not watching out for yourself. Even when you don't care for yourself, that God has what? Somebody out who's looking out for you, and you don't even know it. People call him guardian angel sometimes. And his sister, Miriam, is over in the bush watching this basket float down. And they intentionally put it where? In front of the Pharaoh's daughters. And the Pharaoh's daughter, the Bible says that the Pharaoh's daughters find him. And they knew right away that he was a Hebrew baby. But what did they do? They hid him. Do you not know that God would hide you in plain sight? Woo, y'all, this thing is full today. And I know I'm not going to be intending to be long. I got to get it out. So if you got to go, you got to go. I get it. But if you hear, you hear. Because when God is speaking, we should be listening. So what does he do? So God hides Moses in plain sight. He puts Moses in the system. You and I, God has strategically placed us in the system. He said, you be in the world, but you're not of the world. Moses is in Egypt. He's in Pharaoh's house, but he's Hebrew. Come on, somebody. I don't know how much plain I can make it. He's in Moses. Moses is in Pharaoh's house. He's in the enemy's camp. He's growing up in the enemy's camp. He's learning Hebrew. Oh, come on, somebody. He's learning how to run the affairs of Egypt. He's learning how to move things around. And he's learning from the best of the best. He's what a son of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh is raising up that which would come after his own head. And he doesn't even know it. That's the kind of God we serve. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, some of you are being raised up right in the middle of it. Don't quit. I know it's been hard. It's H-E, hockey stick. I get it. I'm here with you. But I'm here to tell you today, it's a reason. You know, I've heard testimonies of some of our members and stuff. They work for people who are atheists, but yet even the atheists got to come back and say, you know what? It's something about you. Woo! That's that spirit. And he has me there what to be able to speak truth to power. He has you there to be able to speak truth to power, that in that time you feel that rising up in you. I ain't saying you go in there and you just cause ruckus. But that's a time that you got to stand up and stand still and know that he is God. That God is keeping it together as well as it is because you are there. Think about it. As long as Moses was growing up in Pharaoh's house, everything but Pharaoh was good. It was cool. And what I find interesting is that the reason Moses got there was because of what? Joseph. Remember Joseph. Joseph, he had the dream that brothers went through him. And Joseph was an exile himself, thrown out of his family by his brothers because he had a dream. He wanted more for his life. Some of you, your own family has exiled you. Why? Because you said that I don't want to be 10 baby mamas. I want to go to college. I want some better money. I don't want to live off welfare. I get it. Some of us there, but the problem is not being there, it's staying there. So you decided that I want better for my family. You decided that I want a husband. You decided I want a wife. You decided that I want to be a dad to my children. And you were exiled because of it. Well, I'm here to tell you today, baby, you got company. You ain't by yourself. And you keep going that path. You keep walking that walk because God has something in store for you. If you'll find your voice. If you keep hogging on his command, you ain't got to be perfect. He didn't ask for your perfection. He perfects you through what? Your circumstances and the things that you go through. So now what? Moses is growing up inside of Pharaoh's house, which his great, 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 great cousin, got Joseph, got them there. So now he grows up and he's learning from Pharaoh. He knows the best of everything. At some point, he even starts to almost believe that he's Egyptian. Watch this. And this is where we got to be careful. Some of us at some point start to believe that we're where we are because we were good. Woo! If I said nothing else, this is why the Bible said, well, we have to be humble. And the Bible says it also that what? That promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, north or the south, but promotion comes from God. He promotes you when he thinks you're, when he knows that you're ready to handle it. Why? Because if you get up there and you start thinking you did it, now you're setting yourself up for the downfall. If you're starting to think that it's because I was so great, I'm so smart, I made good decisions. No, baby, you're nothing but grass, dirt. Mm-hmm. But watch this part. But Moses gets to a point that he's feeling himself and he sees another what? Egyptian was fighting another, a Hebrew. And it was something that welled up inside of Moses. You know, I don't know about you, but when you see people being mistreated, I know I do. Something wells up inside of me. I know sometimes it's none of my business, but I can't take it. I don't like seeing women and children abused. I don't like seeing people, I don't like seeing anybody abused. You know, I've always got myself in trouble a couple of times. Probably when they said putting your nose where it shouldn't be, but I can't take it. That's just who I am. It's in me. I couldn't do it. And Moses had the same thing. And what does Moses do? Moses goes over and Moses kills a man. Moses killed a man. So now remember, the first time Moses, what? The Pharaoh's daughter calls him Moses. Moses meaning what? Drawn out of the water. So Moses was drawn out. Moses is an exile at least one time. He's an exile from his people into what? The system. So Moses is a systematic exile. Write that down. Systematic exile. Now here comes exile number two. So the Bible said that Moses kills the man. And as Moses kills this man, now what? Now Moses being what? One of Pharaoh's sons, all he had to do was tell Pharaoh, yeah, I killed him. But he would have to explain that he killed an Egyptian to save a Hebrew. Oh, come on, somebody. You have to explain that you did this instead of that. And that wasn't going to fly. And he knew it. And then on top of that, other people saw him do it. Other people saw him do it. So when other people are watching you all the time, brothers and sisters, people are watching me. They're watching you. They're getting their cues on how to act from you. Yeah, from you. So as they watched us and they watched him and they saw him, and the first thing they did is what? When he found himself in something, they said, are you going to kill me like you did him? So brothers and sisters, we got to be careful what we do. Why? Because people can be like, oh, you going to do that to me like they did that to you or you did to him. So Moses immediately is what? Convicted. This is why it's important, brothers and sisters, that we have to live above reproach. I can't live in sin. You can't live in sin. We get in sin, get it right, and get out of it. Because what? People will use that same thing. When it comes time that you speak truth to power, that same thing that you fail with, that same thing that you struggle with, what are they going to do? They're going to bring it up to you. Well, how are you going to tell me not to do it and you do it? How are you going to tell me not to have sex outside of marriage and you was doing it? How are you going to tell me not to go out here and smoke dope and you were doing it? How are you going to tell me not to cheat on my taxes and you do it? How are you going to tell me to pay tithes and offering and you don't do it? Mm-hmm. That thing is, as we used to, you know, some of the old folks used to say, do as I say and not as I do. No, that day don't work, baby. That's gone. That left with the last generation. So people are watching what you do. So they tell Moses this. And so Moses does what? He panics. And in the form of panic, he exiles again. This time, exile number two is self-exile. See, now one time you've been exiled by all those around you because you just didn't fit. I get that. I didn't control that. You don't control that. Right? But we deal with it. But the second exile is a self-exile. You've told yourself that you're not good enough. Y'all got to buy this DVD myself. You've told yourself that you're not good enough. You've told yourself that you're not pretty enough. You told yourself that you don't know enough. You've already self-proclaimed and walking in self-fulfilled prophecy that you told yourself that you're not going to do it. I'm not going to get this job. I'm not going to get this promotion. I'm not going to, you know, be able to complete this and complete that. You've already told yourself, self-exile. Nobody forced Moses to leave. Read the Bible. Nobody forced Moses to leave, but Moses left. Why? Because he was in fear. Many of us self-exile because we are in fear, because we don't know who we are. As the great late Maya Angelou would say, that we are so scared of ourselves. Why? Because we don't know how powerful we might really be. And if we get to the point and understand of how powerful that we really are, and how much a world changer we are, and how much of God's power and anointing is inside of us to transpire and change the world, we might even scare ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. That's what she said, right? So then what we find? We find him going on to the next level. So then he goes on, he's self-exiled. So exile number two is self-exile. Mm-hmm. How many of you self-exile? You got to talk. You can talk to yourself. You self-exile. You self-exile. So while Moses is out here and he's self-exiled, he told himself that he can't do it. And what happens is, for some of us, God has to bring a unique circumstance to bring us back. So part number three to this is, the second part to this would be on my second point is, redeemed. Do you not know that God is a redeemer? That he can bring you back unto himself? So not self-exile. So here, remember now, so point one, there was two exiles. Moses was exiled when he was born. He was exiled by the system, okay? Then point number two, now Moses gets to a point in his life, he reaches maturity, he knows Egyptian, he knows all this stuff, he knows the Egyptian rituals, all this. He's in line to be on the throne. And then what? He self-exiles because of mistakes he's made. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, some of you have self-exiled because of mistakes you made in the past. Yeah, you got two or three baby daddies. Who cares? Yeah, you got two or three baby mama. Who cares? Yeah, you stole, you've cheated. But I'm here to tell you today that God is able to forgive. Yes, you've had abortions. Yes, you've done this. Yeah, you've done that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've gone mentally crazy. But I'm here to tell you today that God is just that. He can forgive you, and he has a place for you. You've got to find your voice. Because there's boys and girls, there's women and men, there's people that you can speak to that lives will be changed through you. You got to find your voice. So when the Bible says that Moses here, 40 years later, Moses is what? Is self-exiled for 40 years. Nobody kicked Moses out. Moses kicked himself out. Mm-hmm. Many of you, nobody's kicked you out. You've kicked yourself out because you feel like you're not part. And you've told yourself for so long that now you've gotten to the point that you start believing that yourself. So now you're just thinking, okay, you out here, and what does the God do? God sends a burning bush. A bush that Moses noticed that he's out there, he's doing his shepherd thing, he's married, he got his family, he's good. Now this is the thing about God. God comes and disrupts you when you're good. See, we be thinking, all right, when things are troubled and when all this stuff is going on, that's when we expect God. But no, God comes when you think you finally arrived. And you done went through everything. You know, the things are good. The children are acting right. The job is playing you pretty good. You know what I mean? You're losing a little weight. You're feeling good. You got a little money in the bank. And you know what? Here come God. There's a burning bush over there. And Moses looking at that thing. That thing look weird. Watch in the next. What are you saying, Lord? Watch in the next 6 to 8 months. Watch unusual circumstances happen. Unusual circumstances. You're going to look and you're going to be like, that was the weirdest thing. That's your sign that God is moving and it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. Find that voice. Unusual circumstances. So a burning bush. The bush was burning, but it's not consumed. Anytime, I'm quite sure Moses at that time has seen other bushes burn from lightning, strike the bush. It's dry, it catches on fire, it burns. But he was using what? A unique circumstance to get Moses' attention. God has to use, because you and I, we've been to places, we've done things with people, we think we're so smart. So sometimes God got to cause a unique circumstance in our life to cause us to pay attention. So now Moses goes over and Moses addresses the bush and he's looking at this bush like, what is going on? And then this is when God speaks to him and tells him that, look, bro, I got some work for you to do. I got work for you to do. And Moses goes through this whole thing, Lord, I don't have a voice. Lord, I don't speak good. I'm out here. I'm a shepherd.
But then God has to remind Moses, boy, you grew up in the system. You almost doggone thought you was Egyptian yourself. Who else better do I call? I raised you up in the system. I taught you their ways. I gave you their thoughts. I even let you eat their food. I always had a plan for you. And yes, you got off track. Yes, you did some things that you shouldn't have done. Yeah, you shouldn't have killed that man. Yeah, you ran off to self-exile. But I used all that time to mature you to the point now you're going to be able to go back and you're going to be able to speak truth to power. You're going to be able to speak to for and with my people. Why? Because, see, think about it. The people of Israel did not want to hear from anybody else. It took one of them to go back. Black people, it's going to take black people to help black people. Yes, they're good white people, and Lord knows I know a ton of them. I love them, and I hope they love me too. However, at the same time, that's some things that I know people are only going to accept because it came from me. It's just the way things are. I did not design them. You did not design them. These are the constraints of the system, okay? So we're working through the constraints of the system. God bless you, Brother Luke. Appreciate you, Brother Matthews. This is constraints of the system. So we work through the system. Moses comes back and he tells them what? I'm here to save y'all. And you know what they do? They look at Moses. People start to remember two things. Let me get this first. This is right here. It's a point for somebody. Notice this. If you go back and you read, and I give you the scripture and verse for that real quick. I'm not going to put it up on the screen for sake of time. But if you go to, I think it's Exodus 2 and 23. There's a time the Bible says when Moses get ready to go back, one of the times he knew it was time to go back was what? The king, the Pharaoh who was seeking to kill him, that one that was seeking to destroy him, has now died. Now, I know people are going around and they're saying in 2020, oh my goodness, people are dying, people are this. I'm here to tell you today, this is your shot, baby. Life goes on. Yeah, you hate people dying, things like that. But people before them died too. And you know what? You're going to reach your time and you're going to die too. So you better be living, as they used to say, what, living your best life? You better be living your best life now before your time gets up. It's your time. You've been waiting. Moses waited all that time. And the Bible says that Pharaoh died. So the Pharaoh who had a strike against Moses, the Pharaoh who wanted to kill Moses, the Pharaoh who knew the things that Moses did was now dead. So Moses can do what? He can go back to Egypt, and the people of God knew who he was. But the Pharaoh didn't. He didn't. So when Moses comes before the throne, and Moses knows the royal protocol, see, God got y'all in places for a reason now. It ain't about you. It's always been about him. Newsflash. So what does he do? He has him. Moses knows the royal protocol. He knows Robert's rules of order. He knows how to hold his pinky. He knows the dinner table etiquette. He knows how to fold his napkin. He knows how to use the shrimp fork. He knows how to eat fried chicken with forks. Come on, somebody. I know y'all want to pick up that chicken and eat with your hand, but at some sentence, I just can't do that. So I have to eat it with my fork, and I carve it, and I do these things, and so I can look all elegant, like I play the part. Because, and when in Rome, do what Romans do. Right? So, now he plays this part, and he gets before them, and he does what? And you know the story. This is when the 10 plagues of Egypt come up. Let my people go. And God is what? Now developed Moses' voice in his self-exile. And his exile, and now he's brought him back as redeemer, which is also symbolic of Christ, that Christ comes back for what? As a redeemer to us. Because what? We have fallen away. First man Moses calls that. I mean, not Moses, first man Adam, right? There was a falling away, and now what? We've come back unto him. Mm-hmm. So what? Now Moses goes away. Moses is prepared where? In the wilderness. This rocky time you're going through, it's just preparation. Don't give up. You can't quit now. This is just in prep.
You went to school. I know some of you said, I went to school and I did this and I did that, and I can't find a job in this stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I know why you can't find a job, because it's not time yet. It's not the time yet. And I know I'm talking to myself. So what, during this time, we have to learn to be patient. Not that I'm sitting around waiting for people to die, but if they die, next man up. I know it sounds terrible, but this is Bible. Because God raises one up and he tears one down. Right? He gets the promotion, right? We talked about that. So at the same time, there are people, you know, you sitting around, y'all waiting around for this person to retire. Maybe so, because they've made up their mind, you're not going to get this job as long as this person is here. You're not going to get this position as long as this person's here. And it very well may be the position that God wants you to have. You just got to wait. And I know some of us don't want to wait, me included. I hate waiting. Oh. But I also learned during the wait, there's a maturation process. There's a maturing process that's going on. There's a learning process that's going on. I'm retooling. I'm gaining more tools. I'm getting more. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting this. So what does God do? God takes the time that Moses was in exile, learning to herd sheep. Remember, he was in the king's palace. So now he goes from the king's palace to going to be a sheep herder. And that same ability to herd sheep is now transferred to be able to what? Manage people. He didn't learn that in Pharaoh's house. He learned that Jehovah Jireh is my provider on the backside of the desert. That's why God allows some of us to struggle and suffer. Because we got to know how it feels when we're working with somebody so we can have some compassion. Woo! We got people now who don't have any compassion for anything or anybody. So you know how you develop compassion? You have to sometimes be in the situation yourself. You got to know how it is not to be able to have enough. You got to know how it is to be there. You know, people who are filthy rich, it's not that they don't want to be compassionate, but it's tough for them to be. They don't know how it feels. Think about that. You know, I tell my teachers all the time, you know, when I'm teaching teachers in school, take yourself back when you learned algebra. You struggled, didn't you? It was hard. I remember I got C's in algebra, and I teach this stuff for a living now. I'm supposed to be some kind of expert, but I got C's in it. Go look at my report card. I have no shame. You see what I'm saying? So you have to live that struggle. So God has allowed some of us to live that struggle. I know what it is. You know, my grandmother, when I was young, she didn't even have running water, y'all, in the 90s. My dad came up poor, and he did pretty good by me. You know, we didn't have everything we wanted, but we had everything we need. And now I live on another level. My father came by last week. And you know, I know he didn't say anything, but I know my dad was proud. He saw this house that God has blessed us with. He saw the children God has blessed us with. He see that we're doing well. And I know that does his heart good. And if my granddad was alive, I know his heart would be good. And you know, because it's not about me. It's about every generation getting better. And the next generation is going to get better through you. So it's not about you. You do what you can. You enjoy what God has given you, but also leave some seed for somebody else. Don't eat it all. How can you? Oh, my goodness. How can the next generation get better if we eat up all everything now? I got to leave my daughter, my son. I got to leave them some seed. Now, if they eat the seed that I leave them, it's on them. But my job is to do what? To train them. The Bible said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they get old, they should not depart from it. That's not just you whipping them so they won't do dumb stuff. That's also you training them in business. This is also you training them in how to save some money. This is also you training them how to do take care of affairs. When you know better, everybody else in your house should know better. All your people should know better. We in this together. So I'm teaching my sons and daughters, my son and daughter. I said sons. I ain't got but one. Well, I got some sons in the gospel, right? You know, but I'm teaching. Now, look, Bo. When you get this, we put this away. You don't spend everything. You use this and use that. You know, my son, on the other day, I was out there doing some yard work. He came out there, and he was begging to get put a rake in his hand. So I put a hoe in his hand. Said, Bo, rake that dirt over there. Now, he was over there just playing. But I didn't tell him no, because when he got the desire to want to learn, I'm going to take advantage of that. You should take advantage of that. There's some people who are around you that want to learn from you. That's your voice. They want to learn from you. I know, and you sitting back saying, well, I ain't got nothing to teach them. You are so wrong. You got a lot to teach them. You got your life experience because some of you came from the gutter.
Some of you all know what I'm talking about, welfare cheese and peanut butter, you know, that came in cans and all that stuff, and waiting in that armory line downtown in Henderson. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't make me come into your living room. I know some of you. And look how God has blessed you. You got homes and cars and stuff, and you wear $300 or $400 suits now, and you got red bottom shoes and all this stuff. And that stuff is fine. That stuff is okay. Because you can't let, but you don't let stuff have you. But there's some people who are not just looking, they're not looking for a handout, but they're looking for a hand up. Can somebody else show me the roadmap? It's your voice. Because what God does, what? He uses Moses to come there to get his people out of bondage. He uses Moses to come in there and speak truth to power to release the people. And what do they do? What do they do? They fight them. And I'm here to tell you all today, when you use your voice, people going to fight you like hell. The heaven and the hell is, I think what Larry Reed would say, the heaven and the hell, they're going to fight you because they don't get it. They don't get it. And you have to realize, and this is why God had to have, what, you have to build this tough skin. And I ain't going to lie, y'all, sometimes I go home and I cry about it. It's like, Lord, I just wanted to help them. Lord, I just wanted to show them. And it's tough. But then you know what God reminds me? He said, as such was you. Think about it. All the time that God has been trying to help you, how many times have you rejected his help?
It's a little different now, ain't it?
How many times God has told you, don't you go do that? I'm grown. How many times God said, I want to say that. I do what I want to do. Okay. So that same mercy. Hey, y'all, I know I'm preaching this more than ain't nobody else telling me I'm preaching. That same mercy that he extended you while you was out here doing this, before he saved you, and you was out here and you end up not HIV and all this stuff, and you was out here running and rocking and all this stuff, and you should have had probably, as my folks, you said AIDS all up in the tail and all this stuff. He didn't allow it. Why? Because he protected you. He had mercy and he had grace upon your life. Now that you're there, that same mercy and grace, you need to extend to somebody else. I know there's some people who are really trying, and they seem like they just ain't going to get it. But what if God gave up on you? I know this is a tough message for some people, but God didn't give up on you. What if he gave up on Moses? So Moses goes over there. He gets the people out, and the people are mad. They are getting whipped every single day. They're making bricks without straw. They're doing all this stuff. And what do? They are just as mad as they can be. Like wet hens. Mad. Why are you coming here? Why are you messing with my welfare? I'm bringing the 2020 for you. Why are you messing with my Medicaid? Why are you messing with this thing? This leak? That's not for you to be there. He has more for you. He has life more abundantly for you. But you got to do your part. Okay? So what does he do? So Moses pulls him out of the Egyptian welfare system. Y'all, if y'all ain't sharing this by now, woo! I know I'm getting myself in all kinds of trouble today, but it's all right. Speak, Lord. He pulls him out of the Egyptian welfare system. And watch this. Before they leave, what did Moses, God told him to ask for? He said, ask for the wealth of Egypt. Watch this. He said, and I'm almost done. He said, ask for the wealth of Egypt. So if you go in there, read the story in Exodus. He says, they went and they asked for their gold and their silver. And the Egyptians threw it at them. They gave it to them freely. They were like, we just so ready for y'all bamas to get out of here. We so tired of y'all being here. All these plagues and pandemics we dealing with and the locusts and the bloody water. And now I'm losing my sons. My kids are dying. Man, whatever you want, just take it. Just get, you know, what out of here. Be gone. So what do? They get the wealth of Egypt. The Bible said they had so much wealth, money, gold, riches, so much stuff. What happened? They could barely carry it out of Egypt. Don't be chasing this money and wealth and riches. God got it already up for you. All you got to do is do what he tells you to do. And you know what? They're going to give it to you. Let me bring it to you. Let me fast forward to you in 2020. What this is, You happy doing the job that you're doing, and some headhunter come find you and say, hey, you know what? Hey, Lou, you got all the skills that we want. Lou, here's, we'll give you $500,000 to come over here and work for us. And you sitting like, man, I was really happy here. I just got to the point that I got settled here in Baltimore. I just got to the point that I like what I'm doing here. I got a decent house, children are good, wife is good, life is good. I don't want to move. And then they come make you some ridiculous offer. And then you look at it like, wow, I got to maybe really consider this now. That's what that looks like in 2020. Tell you content, context, right? So then they leave. And as the story goes on, you know how the story goes. They do some stupid stuff. Because sometimes God can bless you with things. He blessed them with the wealth of what? Of Egypt. And they did dumb stuff with it, right? They went and made a golden calf, which they made their God. Sometimes God blesses us with these riches and all these kind of things. And we go do dumb stuff with it. We go buy 10, 20 houses and we can't live but in one. We go buy, you know, say, do just ridiculous stuff instead of doing what? Helping. So I want to remind you today, as I begin to close, part three, he's raised you in the system to destroy the system. Take this last point with you and I'm done. Oh, yeah, I did good today. I'm right on my time. He raised you in the system to destroy the system. Who else better can destroy the system than somebody like you? You are part of this. You was a part of it. You grew up in the system. You know how the system is run. You know how people scheme people. You know how people do things. You know how they operate. You know how some of them sleep to the top. You know how some of them steal and bite. You know how some of them want to even just even off themselves sometimes. You understand all of that. You understand how it works. You understand the dynamics of it. And God is going to use you to break it. Just like he did Moses. What did he do with Moses? Moses understood the Egyptian system. Moses understood the Egyptian gods. He knew their majesty. He knew their, you know, how they worked. He knew what they liked, what they didn't like. Because he was what? He grew up in the system. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, your voice matters. Because what? You grew up in the system. Who else can fix some of the problems we got than you? Why? Because some of the problems I didn't grow up in, but you did. And you know exactly, you told yourself even as a child, I'm speaking to somebody right now, you told yourself even as a child, if I ever get to the point I can fix this, I'm going to fix it. So why did you change your mind? Were you chasing riches? Were you chasing money? Were you chasing women? Were you chasing dope boys? What? That same thing that God put in you when you was a child that said, I'm going to work to change this. This is your voice, baby. And you know what? And he's going to leave and he's going to help you. And he's going to make sure that you got what you need when you need to do it. Don't worry about what you need. The Bible said, wait, Exodus, if you don't walk away with nothing else today, Exodus 4:12 says this. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Y'all, my 3 points today was that you've been exiled twice. You was exiled by the system, and then you were self-exiled. You also what was brought back, and you're coming back, and many of you coming back to redeem God's people. And you're going to be the one that's going to redeem it. Why? Because he's put you uniquely inside of the system. And who else better to break the system or challenge the system or change the system than somebody who's lived through the system? And know this one thing, that what? I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Do you trust God enough to know today that I'm going to find my voice? I'm going to trust that he's going to teach me what to say. I don't know what to say, y'all. Even going into Friday night, I didn't know what I was going to even preach on today. And this thing of voice just dropped on me. Because I typically, and if you haven't figured, I teach sometimes out of my own struggles. God has tremendously blessed me with, you know, family and loved ones and, you know, finances. You know, I'm not rich, but I do all right. But it's still this call inside of me that says, you can do more. And I'm like, but Lord, they won't listen. Lord, they want this. And he's like, I didn't tell you that. I told you to do this, and I do the rest. The Bible said they were one water, one planet, but it's he that gives the increase. And we got to trust that, you know, in due season, you'll be heard by the right one who needs to hear it. There's somebody's life who's being changed that needs to hear it. And that's all you are required to do. You ain't required to change people. That's his job. See, we get mixed up because we want to change people. You're not even required. This, watch this. You're not even required to change yourself. He said, what? Seek me. And what? I will what? Lead you into all your ways. He's going to change you. All you have to do is be obedient and believe. Obedient and believe. God bless you all today. Love you all. I hope that this word has been a tremendous blessing to someone out there on today, that someone has learned, hey, I got to find my voice so that I can speak truth. God has this for you. Find your voice. There's work for you to do. He didn't bless you with what you are able to do. Some of y'all, God bless you all with great sense. And, you know, you got some of you got great business acumen. There are people who just business just falls in your lap. You ain't got to do nothing. People just like you because they just like you. You what some people would consider to be a natural born leader. You ain't got to do nothing. Some of you, God has blessed you with tremendous looks that you all are just rock stars when you come out of bed in the morning. And people just gravitate to you. They just do. Then there's that other group of people that some of us have to work at. But God has given us giftings and talents in other areas too. But whatever it is, it's your voice. And you know what? Nobody else says it like you. My mama, we could be in a group of about 10,000 people. And you get a microphone to everybody. And tell me to turn my back. And let everybody speak. I can tell you which one is my mama. I guarantee you, you can tell me which one is your mama. Why? Because you know her voice. And her voice is what? No matter what anybody else say, your mama's voice is unique. Your daddy's voice is unique. It stands out. It ain't like anybody else's voice in the world. Same thing applies here to you. Your voice is unique. When you speak, people listen. When you speak, people listen. Because your voice stands out. It's who God has called you to be. It wasn't nothing you did. It was because of him. Now walk in that voice. And know that God is making you unique. See, your voice ain't about you being loud. I know I'm loud, y'all. We used to talk like that so we could get to hear each other. But, you know, sometimes you can talk just like this. Some of you have still the mouth voice. They talk like this. And your voice is just as powerful as it is if I'm yelling at the top of my lungs like I typically talk. And those who know me know they just, I ain't screaming at you, just how I go. I'm working on it though, y'all. But it ain't about that. And he said, well, he'll teach you what you should say. I ask and I pray with you. I'm going to pray with you right now that you ask God, Lord, teach me what I should say. And watch things start opening up differently for you. You're going to see people even see you in a different light. Lord, teach me what to say. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous word that you've given us on this day, Lord Jesus. Lord, for you, it's none like you. Lord, and we just praise your name, Lord Jesus, for you've been God and you're God alone, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, I ask that you watch and you keep your people on this day, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that your word reigns rainbow. Lord Jesus, that it's fresh, Lord Jesus, that it's cutting, Lord Jesus, but it's also healing, oh God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that Lord Jesus, they walk out today, Lord, to know that, Lord Jesus, yes, they've been exiled by the system, they've been exiled by themselves, oh God. But Lord Jesus, that you brought them back, Lord, that you redeemed them, oh God, for them to be at this time, Lord God, to break the system, Lord Jesus, to change things, Lord Jesus. The things that they saw as little boys, they saw as little girls, Lord Jesus, the things that they saw were messed up, the things that they saw went nuts, those things, Lord Jesus, that you called them to, Lord. Give them what thou should say. As you said in your word in Exodus 4:12, and teach thee what thou should say. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. Hey, if this has been a tremendous blessing to you all, I ask that you all help us out. Help us in offering on today. We do Cash Out. We also do the PayPal. PayPal.me/ministry. Everything that we give here goes to the word directly to support the Safe House Church. Yeah, I don't take a salary. God's people bless me. Amen. I'm grateful for that. And God keeps me employed. And I'm grateful because we're trying to build something here. You know, we're trying to build something here. You can't eat up all the seeds, but the seeds have to be there in the ground. So we're grateful for that. Also, if you would like to join our church, our church is open. You can join here online. We would love to have you. you know, just you can send a message to me or you can just put in the chat, hey, I want to join your midst. I've heard enough, Peter. You convinced me that, you know what, God's got something different for me. And this ministry that you have here is what I'm called unto. And I want to work in your leadership and learn more. Hey, the doors are open for us. Not my church, but it's his church. It's his church. It's his church. Amen. It's his church. And if God has called you to this ministry, I, by all means, ask that, hey, you consider us, consider us, consider us. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. But God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. So as we go in here now, I start to get to close our close today. Uh-oh. Ooh, been totally messing up here. Y'all, my screen didn't mess up. But nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy. And I'm just so grateful to him. Grateful, grateful. All right, fix that. All right. Don't y'all just love technology? It works when you want it to work sometimes. But nonetheless, I'm just grateful to God. If there be any who desire prayer or who wants to join our midst, by all means, let us know. Just like so you can send me a private message. Hey, Peter, I've been thinking about it, Pastor Pete, and I want to join the church. I want to join. You can be right here online with us. We don't know when we're getting back in our building. We don't know. You know, who knows? We may not go in our building. Or we may go into a new building. Who knows? That God has opened up some doors. I know things are changing. Real estate is changing. Or we might be able to go in there and purchase a building and say, hey, this is where we're going. Amen. But nonetheless, you know, if you desire, just let us know. Inbox us. Send me an email. Give us a call. Here at the church. Our number is 336-501-7552. Again, it's 336-501-7552. God bless you all. I love you all. I want you to remember this one thing and this one thing to be true, that we know this, and we know this also to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. Spend some time with your family. It's been an amazing time today, and I love you. Take care.